right? You can just hear him smiling. He, his teammates, what did his teammates say to him? Ask if they get a loan, man. He's got that money. He got that cheddar.
That'll cover the Cabo trip. I got a smile on my face today, too, because I have been presented with an embarrassment of riches in terms of barbecue here at the Smoking Boar. We're at May in Britain. There's plenty of room for you to come in and have some lunch today. Dusty, it's I'm almost ashamed to say what is at the table right now. I mean,
what
there's so
got?
Much
come
food.
On, let me hear.
We got brisket. We got pulled pork. I love a little jalapeno cornbread. They have some extremely good jalapeno cornbread. Jay Pitts is eating the fall off the bone ribs today. He's got some mac and cheese. And so I mean,
all right, stop. I've heard enough.
If something happens in 1 o'clock hour and you don't hear from me, I'm not dead. I'm just sleeping, taking a
nap.
It's
a coma. You're in a meat coma.
Yeah, I am. Man, so that's good. We got a lot to talk about today. Todd Firm is going to join us in the 12:25, so he will tell us what's going on in the world of college football. I'm kind of interested in hearing his thoughts on where some of the money's moving this week. Texas LSU game is really interesting to me. I like Texas, but I'm smart enough to understand if all the sharps are on LSU, that might not be a good sign for Herman Ellinger and company. Look, I'm not going to try to – we got to get to this because you have me intrigued. You gave me a teaser off the air. I love your cat, Joey Merson. Joey's been run over. Joey is, there's been many things happen to Joey. He's just always kind of finds his way into danger. And you told me last week that potentially he was sick with a terminal disease.
Yeah.
That's the last I heard. What's going on?
So Joey Merson, for those of you who've been listening for a while, he's been around for what, Mark, 3-4 years? We've had Joey for a while.
Just kind of showed up too, right?
He's not a person. No, we adopted him. I showed up at home, and Joey was there. It wasn't like I was asked.
Gotcha.
This is my first ever cat. But Joey and I have had to at least a understanding of one another. We keep our distance. But, by the way, hello, Matt Ravis.
Great
to have you on
How's
this
going?
Thursday, Friday. So Joey, last week, Lacey found he had a bulge under his throat, like a growth. We didn't know what it was. You know, it was just kind of it's just like a growth. Now, it wasn't like it wasn't like coming out. It was on the inside. So we didn't know what it was. So, you know, just like when you rub your hand along his neck, there's a lump. I apologize. A lump. So, you know, of course, we kind of thought, well, it could be cancer, right? You know, oh, no, this isn't good. So the boys, they've been freaking out. And finally yesterday, we're able to get Joey Merson into the vet. So get Joey Merson to the vet, and Lacey, they can't get Joey Merson. They can't give him, like, an examination because Joey Merson is a vicious cat. So he's hissing and fighting, and so they have to sedate him. So they left Joey Merson at the vet, and then we had, you know, they were going to sedate him, and they were going to examine and find out what was going on. So what they found, Mark Rogers, was not cancer. So that's good. This is good. But what Joey Merson had, Mark, was a sewing needle with a thread of fabric that was under his tongue and coming out of his throat. A sewing needle. And so what that lump was, it was an abscess that had formed around the sewing needle. So Joey Merson's been running around for God knows how long with a sewing needle lodged under his tongue right next to his throat. Can you imagine the pain this cat's been in?
No wonder he's angry.
So,
I mean, come on.
I know. So they take out we have video of this. They videoed it and sent it and gave it to Lacey.
I didn't know that you'd taken up needlepoint.
That's what I said. I said, who the hell? Who's got a needle and thread in this house? My wife doesn't know how to sew. I can't sew. I don't know where this came from. I don't know where Joey found this. He's a scavenger. He's a cat. Who knows? So they go in, and they remove the needle. They pull the needle out, and then this long thread comes out with it. And then they have to go in. They have to shave his neck, and then they have to go in and make this big hole. I mean, this isn't like some pinhole, and they drain all this disgustingness out from where that abscess was. And so now Joey Merson is back at home. He has no needle in his throat, but he does have a big hole and he is he's like spilling blood, pus stuff coming out of his throat as he's kind of walking around the house. Last night, I'm sitting there watching TV, and I hear Jackson yell, "Oh, my God! What is this? Is it ketchup?" It wasn't ketchup. It was Joey Merson's blood pus that was squirting out of his throat. So, but this morning, I woke up, and Joey was still kind of sedated, so he didn't know what was what. He was just kind of out of it. And so this morning, now, mind you, Joey keeps his distance from me. He loves my kids and my wife, but Joey and I, again, we have an understanding. Like, you know, we keep our distance. But Joey, I saw him come out of the hallway, and I looked at Joey. I said, "Hey, Joey, come here, Joey." And he never comes to me. He runs right over to me until our dog Penny runs over. Then I lose Joey. Well, Joey followed me to my office, and he walked over. I said, "Come here." He jumped up in my arms, and he kind of rubbed his neck on me and was basically letting me know, I think it was a thank you. I'm glad I don't have a needle and thread in my throat anymore. And then he ran off and I haven't seen him since. But Joey Merson, once again, Mark, he cheats death. He defies logic. He swallows needles and threads, and it can't keep him down. This cat is indestructible, I tell you. Indestructible, Joey Merson.
I am shocked.
That is
I can't
metal.
Believe that.
That is metal. That's the only word that comes to mind.
Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely brutal.
Is there a chance that he's just indestructible?
I think he's the Terminator of cats.
No, I don't think we can rule that out.
Arnold Joey Merson. That's what I'm going to start calling him. He's the Schwarzenegger of cats.
Wow. That's awesome.
Can you imagine how uncomfortable it would be to swallow
Joey
a needle
today.
And thread, Mark?
Yeah, I feel a lot better for him today. Was he meowing constantly or?
I don't know.
Not really?
Not really, no.
Right,
he wasn't complaining. He was just kind of, again, I never touch him, so I would have never known. But, you know, it's like Lacey's favorite thing in the world. She likes his cat more than me. She was freaking out. She felt the lump. And anyway, cancer, no cancer, needle and thread, not going to keep him down. They say cats have 9 lives. I think this cat has like 29 lives.
Yeah, that incident is worth 2 lives. That's not a 1 life. That's a 2 lifer. It's a 2 lifer.
Anyway, that was big news in the Dvorak household last night. So Joey's alive and well.
While we're off sports topic, before we get on to sports topic, I'm not sure if anybody had watched the Big Brother last night, but spoiler alert, I'll tell you what happened if you've got it on the DVR for a second. But Cliff Hogg is now on the block. I want to see Cliff Hogg go.
No, absolutely not. Not the Big Hogg.
I don't want to see the Hogg go. Absolutely. No, no way. No way, no how.
Mickey and what's-her-face had a big lover. They had a big lover's quarrel last night.
They did,
looked,
man. What was up with
bad.
That? You know what's funny about that? You know what's funny about that?
What's funny?
Lacey and I are watching it, and I'm sitting here going, in my head, I'm sitting there going, God, just like women. Just crazy, right? I mean, because she's acting kind of crazy. Like, to me, I'm like, what'd Mickey do? Mickey didn't do anything. If anything, Mickey's trying to minimize everything when she's, like, going crazy, yelling at him, calling him names. And then before I can even spit it out of my mouth, when I'm like, God, what's wrong with Holly? Lacey's like, God, Mickey's just like all men. Just like we're all wired different, you know what I mean? Like, I thought that Holly was more at fault. My wife thought Mickey was more at fault, and it just very reminiscent of some of the things that transpires in my house, and I'm guessing in households all across the country. What's the old saying? Men are from Venus, women are from Mars, or whatever the hell it is. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
There you go.
Different
men
planets.
Are from Mars.
Yeah.
There's not 100, there are 1,000 people out there listening to us right now that can relate, including this guy. I understand.
What did Mickey do? What did Mickey do wrong? I mean,
he was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's right. She was just having one of those moments. Poor Mickey. You think they figured out, though? Or is this thing severed for good?
Well, I would tell you this. I don't think there's any other options for him in the house right now, so it'll probably last at least till the end of the show or till one of them leaves.
I thought
Mickey's playing a great game, man. He's nice pick, Dusty. That was a really good choice. I mean, he wins everything. He's dominating, and he's not bad socially either. I have a bad feeling about Cliff Hogg, though. I kind of have a bad feeling because you know who's like Joey Merson? Christy.
Christy is like Joey Merson. Holy cow. Can't get rid of her.
No, they can't get rid of her, even though they should. She's been pretty good.
What was the line from
Tommy, though, kind of exposing his game, too, now, though? You know what I mean? I mean, he looks – he's becoming kind of a pretty dangerous target. I'm surprised that he's going to need to win this week, I think. He or Christie's going to need to win this week or their time will be up.
Is it Nicole? I think Nicole is a sneaky – she may find her way into the finals.
She is sneaky. She's pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
She hasn't won any comps, though. You're going to have to win something at some point.
I didn't say that she was going to win at all. I just said she may find her way in the finals.
Yeah, well, correct. She would be an excellent person to take to the final. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think Mickey is going to take Holly to the final, I would think. But if maybe not, I don't know. She better watch her back. Mickey will take her out.
What was the line Mickey used last night? You're just like every one of my ex-girlfriends. And she said, I'm not your ex-girlfriend. And he basically said, yeah, you are. It's pretty good.
That was baller. That was baller for sure. So, okay. Anything else we need to get into? The Antonio Brown situation. Antonio Brown's been suspended. I don't know how long it'll be for the Raiders, if it's one game or the season. It appears that he and the general manager, Mike Mayock, got into some kind of a fight. Dusty, Mike Mayock's like 110 years old, but he looks really good for his age. You know, he's in good shape.
He's wiry.
I make him a plus 650. Antonio Brown minus 9,000 or 900.
Listen, Antonio Brown would probably beat him in a steel cage match, but Mike Mayock would hurt him. You know what I mean? He would bite him. He would eye gouge. He would do something that Antonio Brown would be limping out of the cage. There would be lasting effects for Mike Mayock. You can just tell he's that old school, tough, hard nosed guy. He's gonna probably cheat or do whatever he can to make his presence felt. I'm going to say this, though. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I would say Matt brought it up, the fact that there might be grounds, if there was enough of an altercation or bad, whatever it was, acting in bad faith, that they could null and void his contract, which I would think for the Raiders, that might be an option, after seeing what they've seen.
There's certainly a very public track record of what's happened there.
Yes. Okay, so mixed emotions. My fantasy team got a huge boost yesterday with the Ezekiel Elliott signing. This doesn't help me at all. People in my fantasy league are already making fun of me today. Appreciate that, fellas, because I do have Antonio Brown. But I'm going to tell you, man, and I should have never drafted him because I knew that this guy was going to do something to get himself in trouble. But I salute Mike Mayock, man. You know, it made me sick when I listened to John Gruden back Antonio Brown with this helmet deal, and then a week later Mike Mayock comes out and basically says, you're either in or you're out, right? We're done with this. And I think that Mike Mayock, he's trying to change the culture and the mindset of the Oakland Raiders organization. And the last thing he needs is a superstar undermining their authority. And so basically this all came about because Antonio Brown didn't like the fact that the Raiders were going to fine him. So he put Mike Mayock on blast on Instagram. And then apparently, as ESPN reports, there was a tiff yesterday. Good for Mike Mayock. Look, I don't care how big of a star you are. We have bosses. We have superiors. We can't say and do things, A, in public, and B, behind scenes, especially if it turns into a physical altercations, with our superiors. You just can't. You have to act accordingly. You have to conduct yourself as a professional. And Antonio Brown hasn't. So I give him credit. It's going to hurt him on the field. But ultimately, if Antonio Brown, this is the way he's going to behave, this is the way he's going to act, I think it's the right course of action for Mike Mayock and the Oakland Raiders. I'm sure John Gruden don't love it.
Were they justified in suspending him?
I mean, I don't know what happened.
I mean, justified in fining him. Justified in fining him.
Yeah.
For missing those practices.
Absolutely. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, think about what they've done for him, Mark.
A lot. They really backed him in a situation which, to me, didn't deserve backing. This helmet situation could have been fixed during the summer. It looked a lot to me like it was a ploy to get out of training camp.
But
I know he works hard. I know he loves doing the stuff in his pool and all that stuff we saw. But he kind of wants to do it on his own time. I don't think he wants to, you know, behold to that ownership group, which is clear.
So what about, I mean, and I know we got to go because we got to get Todd Furman here. But, I mean, look, even if he didn't want to practice, why the hell wasn't he there? The Oakland Raiders, this wasn't their rule, it's the NFL's rule. So he's not going to show up to training camp practice? Like, I get it if you say, hey, this is a safety thing. I don't want to participate in practice until I get a proper helmet. Well, show up. Be a leader. Be in that. Be in the meeting rooms with your team. Be on the practice field with your team. Why did he miss a walkthrough on August 22nd? Mark, I had a lot of teammates. When you miss practice, when you miss meetings, when you're late, Lovie Smith, nicest guy you ever meet. Soft-spoken, softest handshake of all time. He will fine you. He will fine you. I knew guys that got over six-figure fines for being late to meetings, missing walkthroughs. Like, this isn't new. This isn't something new. So I don't know what Antonio Brown's upset about. This wasn't a contract situation. He was holding out for more money. They paid him what he wanted. They stepped up, and they gave this guy everything he wanted, and I think Darren Till's part of the problem. He's acted like a complete clown. He's talked about everybody from Mike Tomlin to Ben Roethlisberger to everybody, and all he got in return was exactly what he wanted. He got a new place with the money he wanted to make. Well, now Mike Mayock's saying, you know what? We've done everything for you, and you still want to treat us like this? You're out of here. You're suspended for now. I think it'll be interesting to see how long this suspension is.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to have to at least come up with a pretty sincere apology. All right, I'm here at the Smoking Board today, May and Britton. Get by here and see us for a delicious lunch. We'll tell you more about it. Todd Furman coming up next to preview this weekend's games in the college football ranks and NFL. Stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday.
The Morning Animals.
You know I'm going through some stuff.
This is a trying time.
Fox Sports 1 every day at 3:30. Let Clay Travis win the first weekly championship. Todd, what the hell? How could you let Clay win?
You know what? Clay went out there and earned it entirely of his own merit. Ended up with about $400 in profit. I had the Michigan first half up 24-7. They fumble a punt late. That goes awry. Kyle Larson in the NASCAR race that ended about 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. He finishes second. So the gambling gods, you know, they want me to work a little bit harder. They weren't going to stake me out to a one-week lead. Just makes it that much more gratifying when I end up back on top.
All right. I got faith in you in the long run. All right, let's get it started. I'm kind of perplexed by this move on the LSU-Texas line. It is just spiraling out of control, up to 6.5 now. No respect for Tom Herman's lofty record as an underdog. What's going on? Is this smart money?
This is very sharp money that's coming on the Tigers. When you look at these two teams' power profiles, Mark, I think this will surprise some people that are in and around the Big 12 that have talked about Texas resurgence, this team making a statement last year in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia and getting back to national relevance. Well, the reality of it is they had to replace so many faces on that defense. Some questions about where their big play potential come from on the offensive side. There's no doubt they have a stud at the quarterback position who becomes the great equalizer. But this is a Texas team professional bettors bet under their win total at 9.5. LSU, for me, top five in my power ratings. I'm a little bit surprised the number has taken off as much as it has, but I think oddsmakers sold the Tigers short. I really believe that Joe Burrow passing attack with Joe Brady at the helm as the passing coordinator is the real deal. I think we'll see it on full display against a questionable Longhorn secondary.
I actually agree, and man, La Tech threw for 331, Jamar Smith threw for 331, so I'll be intrigued to see what Joe Burrow can do. What about the other game of the weekend in Death Valley? Clemson, now it's dropped to 17, it was high as much as 18.5, but is that too much? I mean, I know Clemson's riding an 11-game winning streak where they won by 20 or more, but I think A&M's a pretty good team. Which side do you lean here, Todd?
Well, this one's tough, Dusty, because when you look at this number here, it says one thing and one thing only. It's a lay it or don't play it type scenario with the Clemson Tigers. And I know every game you can't use a year-by-year comparison, but we look at last year when Clemson played host to a good NC State team. People couldn't get enough. Oh, 17 is way too many. The Wolfpack are going to keep it close. Clemson went out there and absolutely bludgeoned them. And when you look at the way this game has been bet, 4 out of every 5 tickets are coming in on the Texas A&M Aggies here in this non-conference showdown. We know Jimbo Fisher has had some success against Dabo Sweeney in the past. That level of familiarity, I think, works in their favor. Last year's game, a 2-point margin in College Station. But I get the feeling this is Clemson's chance, and they don't have many of them in the regular season schedule, to make a statement that, hey, look, we're going to be the team to beat in college football. We're going to prove it to you with a high-flying offense that nobody's going to be able to stop. If A&M gets down 2 scores, even against the young Clemson defense that's still finding their way under Brent Venables' leadership, I'm just not sure Kellen Mond can throw for 400-plus. And I'm in the minority here. I think it's Clemson or pass in this particular spot.
Yeah, that's convincing to me. I can see that. I understand. How about Ohio State-Cincinnati? That's a game that I thought at the beginning of the year that Cincinnati might have a chance to go in and win, and then I watched them last week, and I was very underwhelmed by their performance.
Well, this is a game where you're seeing a little bit of a difference of opinion. You've seen bet splits kind of right down the middle, the general public not quite sure what way they want to go in the battle for Ohio. But you look at the Buckeyes, 17 on the open, down to 16 or 15 and a half. The question becomes, which Ohio State team are we going to see? The one that looked like the greatest offense we've seen at the college level when they hung 28 points in the first quarter against FAU, or one that struggled to find its way for the better part of three quarters? Now, whether that was Ryan Day by design going, hey, look, we got a comfortable lead, we're going to go vanilla here and rein it all back in, or that was a sign that, all right, once FAU got up to game speed, Ohio State wasn't going to do that. Much bigger game, in my opinion, for Cincinnati than it is the Ohio State Buckeyes. When I look at the Bearcats, I worry a little bit about their offensive firepower. We know Luke Fickell is going to have his team buttoned up and ready to go. At 17, I can see making a case for the Bearcats, but this number is so close. If it did get down to 14, I'd actually consider laying it with the Scarlet and Gray.
Okay, here's one Mark and I disagreed on yesterday. Miami at North Carolina. I know right now Mac Brown's everyone's darling. He was crying with Allison Williams. He was dancing in the locker room. He had a great fourth quarter comeback. Feel good story. But Miami, I got to tell you, I thought they could have easily beaten Florida, and I walked away with that from that game pretty impressed outside of their two freshman offensive tackles. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. Now, they are a five-point favorite on the road, but I think that they get over that. I like Miami here in a bounce-back spot. What do you think, Todd?
Been an interesting game to watch the line movement here. Miami opened around a 6.5-point favorite. Number dipped as low as 3.5, and that's where I think a lot of professionals, wait a second, let's pump the brakes on this North Carolina hype train. And as you referenced, Dusty, now out to 5, pretty much painted across the board. A little bit of under money's coming as well. 48.5 down to 47.5. Now let's get some of the intangibles out of the way. Going to be a sellout crowd in Chapel Hill, a night game, ACC Network. People I've talked to around the program are saying this is one of the biggest football games they've played in quite some time, which is somewhat mind-boggling to me, but it just shows how desperate they are to have a winning team that they can latch onto after the disarray that was created by Larry Fedora. But you mentioned Miami having 2 weeks to prepare, the redshirt freshman. I don't think he's going to get sacked 10 times like he did against Florida in the opener. The biggest question I have is, how important is this game for Manny Diaz? We know he was let go by Mac Brown when he was the DC at Texas back in 2013, so no love lost between those two. I think North Carolina is going to be good with Sam Howell. Showed me an awful lot in the second half, but I'm of the same mindset. I'd rather have the road favorite in this spot than I would be backing the home underdog.
Last Thursday night, down in New Orleans, probably not many people noticed, but Tulane crushed Florida International in the game. They were barely favored. So this week, they got Auburn. And, you know, everybody saw how good Auburn was and what they did on Saturday night, but they're only, Auburn only giving 17.5 to Tulane. That kind of tells me to take the underdog in that game.
Well, this game, I mean, fascinating. We talk about it all the time. When are you going to get a team at their absolute best? When are you going to get a team that's overvalued? And when could you get a team that potentially lets down? And you have so many different factors in play here because Auburn, I know a lot of people were ready to praise Bo Nix after his impressive drive to close things out there, but he was erratic at best for extended stretches, and I was actually a little bit disappointed in the freshman's debut, end result notwithstanding, as someone who had a ticket on Auburn minus the 3, 3.5. So when I look at this particular spot, Tulane's still trying to figure out what this new offense is going to look like. I think they passed that first test with flying colors. Full disclosure, I had FIU plus 3. I threw that ticket in the trash by the end of the first quarter. But I think this number is a touch short. I needed 21 to try and back the underdog here. I don't think Tulane is going to be able to run the football. But don't sleep on this Green Wave's defensive line. I think they could have a little bit of success disrupting some of Auburn's timing. A very tough game to try and get through. I would lean towards the over at 51.5.
Okay, what about a former Big 12 matchup, Nebraska-Colorado? Nebraska, you know, they less than desirable, I think, safe to say, in week one, whereas Colorado beat up on their in-state rival, Colorado State. Now, Nebraska is a four-point favorite on the road in a former Big 12 North rivalry game. A lot of people, myself included, high on Scott Frost. What do you see the Huskers doing going to Boulder?
Well, I think this, from a number standpoint, one of the more compelling games of the entire weekend. And the reason I say that is because when you look at the game of the year lines that were released during the summer months, Colorado was a 9-point home underdog in this contest. Fast forward to week one, and you mentioned it, Dusty. Nebraska, they didn't even look average or below average. They looked downright poor in that 35-21 win against South Alabama. Colorado on national TV takes care of a rival. But what's lost in that Colorado-Colorado State game, sure, they won by 3 touchdowns on the scoreboard, but they were actually outgained in that contest. throw into the equation that Nebraska has revenge for a game that they let get away late in Lincoln against Colorado. And I think you mentioned Scott Frost. This is an absolute coaching mismatch. If Scott Frost can't get Nebraska's attention and see them at their absolute best in this particular spot, well, we can start fading everyone's public darling for the next couple of weeks, and we're going to make money betting against Nebraska. I'm not willing to do that. I'll take the better coach, the better quarterback on the road laying points.
How about Arkansas and Ole Miss? I was a little worried for Dusty because it didn't seem like anybody was going to score in that game in Memphis on Saturday. I thought Arkansas looked awful. They almost lost to Portland State. But somebody's got to get a win here.
Dusty was itching for a close game on that call, talking about how Ole Miss was turning the momentum. They were getting things going. I think he was itching for a little bit of action in the second half when that Ole Miss offense underwhelmed through the first half. This game, of all games this weekend, this, Mark, is the definition of a dumpster fire. Two teams that I think can battle it out for the bottom of the SEC West. Arkansas, I know it's a game not a lot of people saw, but when you're a 30-point favorite against the college football powerhouse known as the Portland State Vikings, and you have to struggle to try and find yourself breathing room, not great look for Chad Morris. I think Ole Miss is a team, though, that's going to improve with Rich Rod offensively. They really didn't show much in the first half, didn't get anything going against Memphis, but that was the Super Bowl for the Tigers. I know that there's money that's come in on Arkansas. This total has moved 6 points from 55.5 down to 49.5 in some locations. For me, this isn't a game that I really want to tangle with, but I think it's going to tell us an awful lot about where these two teams are going forward. And I can hope for my sake, having an Arkansas win total under 5.5, that Ole Miss can hold on as a near touchdown favorite.
Okay, here's one that's interesting to me, and because I don't know if Wisconsin's a lot better than we all thought or Charlie Strong has run South Florida into the ground, and I'm kind of leaning towards the latter. And I know on the scoreboard, Georgia Tech, it looks like they got throttled, but if you dig into it, they actually ran the ball for over 4 yards a carry on design runs against a Clemson defense that's still pretty good. I like Jeff Collins, and I'm really down on South Florida right now. It kind of feels like a spot where the Yellow Jackets can get a nice win and cover the six.
Well, there's no doubt that Georgia Tech is going to find wins hard to come by this season, mainly because Jeff Collins is trying to institute a different system. He doesn't exactly have the personnel to try and do it. So they, I'm sure, have had this game circled before the season started. They knew going into Death Valley and beating Clemson probably wasn't going to define their season, knowing how daunting a task that was. You mentioned Charlie Strong and some of his struggles. Not only did they get boat raced by Wisconsin, but there might not have been a team in college football that finished 2018 in worse shape than the Bulls after their undefeated start. I think they were 6-0 or 7-0. It eludes me right now. But I look here, and if USF has anything, and I mean anything, they're going to show a semblance of pride. I think Georgia Tech can win. I just don't know if I'm confident enough to lay nearly a touchdown with an offense until I see their ability to go up and down the field and score with relative ease.
Okay, I got a couple more for you. How about Ohio and Pitt?
This game, we've seen professional money come in on Frank Solich's bunch. Number opened at 7, now down to 5. You look at Pittsburgh last weekend against Virginia. Kenny Pickett in a offense much different than what he was accustomed to last year. We know OC Mark Whipple wants to let him throw it all over the yard. Problem for Pittsburgh is that Larry Fitzgerald isn't walking through that door anytime soon to give him that deep vertical threat. Super Bowl-type atmosphere for Ohio with a veteran quarterback in Nathan O'Rourke. Hard to make a strong case at this point with the number as low as it is, but I would lean towards Ohio. I think they're going to give Pittsburgh all they can handle and then some.
Okay, Friday night, Smurf Turf. Now, I know they expended a ton of energy running that many more plays than Florida State and having the comeback, but I've been there on a Friday night, and they are a tough team to beat. Can they cover the 12 against Marshall tomorrow night, Todd?
Man, I worry about Boise State right now. I'm not going to accuse them of being too busy reading their press clippings, but given the disruptive travel schedule last weekend, playing in that brutal heat, hearing the stories, not from the Boise camp, but more Florida State about hydration, a short week returning home, I actually think this works in Marshall's favor, who had a much easier time dispatching a VMI as 40-point favorites. Boise State is going to be the team to beat in the Mountain West. I'm not exactly going out on a limb to say that. Hank Backmeyer is going to leave a lot of defensive coordinators in that league with sleepless nights the week they're playing the Broncos. But as this number continues to get bet up, I think Marshall gets more and more compelling as a dog. I look at the Thundering Herd. I think they have the chance to be the class of Conference USA, which I know isn't saying much. But I'm going to sell Boise stock at the top of the market. I think people remember what they saw last, and asking Boise to repeat the last 35 minutes or so we saw against Florida State seems like a tall order. Boise wins, but Marshall gets the cash.
What's going on in Vegas this weekend?
Wish I knew. I mean, this time of year with the NFL kicking off in earnest tonight and, you know, trying to send my paparazzi to keep tabs on Dusty's beloved Cowboys to know if Ezekiel Elliott was going to sign, I'm exhausted and we haven't even played a football game for real. So we'll see. One thing I can assure you, though, Mark, I will not be out at Sam Boyd Stadium Saturday night for the barn burner between UNLV and Arkansas State.
You got a favorite game or anything that our listeners may be interested in? Everybody always wants to know what you like.
College card week two is typically where I tread a little bit lightly only because I want to see another data point for a lot of these teams. So if I'm going to the NFL, there is a game, and it's a total, actually, that I like quite a bit. I know Washington is a major underdog against Philadelphia, but this is an Eagles offense, first team that hasn't seen reps during the preseason. The Redskins love to run the ball on first down, and I think their defense can hold up for at least a half. So I'm going to go to one of my patented bets, and I'm going to go under in the first half with the Eagles and Redskins at 23, and I'm going to root for a plethora of punts.
Very nice. See, that's the opposite between you, who is smart, conservative, and an action junkie like me. I love week two. So I'll let you know,
Mark,
how it goes.
I got a stat for you. I've spoken to a couple guys, both offshore and town. They say about 60 to 65% of their bettors end up blowing through their bankroll by the end of September. So don't make yourself a statistic. Make sure you have a few dollars reserved by the time we get to Halloween.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend and safe travels, Dusty.
Thanks, Todd. All right, the one and only Todd Furman. We'll take a break. I am here at Smoking Boar, and it is incredible. I highly recommend it for lunch. They will also cater your tailgate. They will bring food to your house. You can come by and pick it up. It will be delicious for Saturday. They can have parties up 4, 6, 8, however many you want. They got a couple specials today. Dusty had the salmon here last time. It was delicious. They got a taco of the day. It's a salmon taco with lemon vin slaw, which is outstanding. So there's something on the menu here for everybody, and even a little dessert, blueberry cobbler, banana pudding, pecan pie, carrot cake, all right here at the Smoking Boar, May, and Britain. Stay tuned. Much more coming up on the Monsters Picks at 1.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
Jalen Hurts, I mean, he threw the ball.
Bears-Packers tonight. I like the Bears. Three-point line, though, seems about right for this game, Dusty, right? You see it being something like 24-17, 24-14, ended up 24-21, something along those lines.
Yep, I think that's about exactly right. I mean, I think basically Vegas is telling you in the first game it's kind of a pick 'em, and we're going to give the field goal to the home team. I think that's, if you've watched this series, I mean, that's probably about the right number. So three and a half, somewhere in there. You know, the question is, can the Bears have a kicker that's going to be able to make a kick? But, yeah, I like the Bears to win tonight. Should be an awesome night at Soldier Field to kick off the 100th year of the National Football League and one of the oldest and best rivalries in the NFL, Chicago-Green Bay. Doesn't get much better.
I had a friend text me today at either or, and we'll take a phone call here if you want to call, 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS. Brady or Rodgers as a fantasy starter this week? I said Brady. I think it's going to be tough. Rodgers on the road against the Bears defense isn't quite as good a matchup as Brady at home against the Steelers.
Ooh, that's a great question.
I still think I'm going Rodgers.
I'd pick, I don't know. I'd probably go Tom Brady. I think I'm with Mark.
It's close, right? It's close either way. I mean,
Yes. Great question.
Yeah, no doubt.
You going to get three touchdowns out of either one of those guys? Probably not. I don't think you're going to get three touchdowns out of Aaron Rodgers on the road.
Be doubtful, especially, I mean, look, we haven't even seen him in the preseason. I know he said over and over and over, we don't need preseason. It's a waste of everybody's time. I'd like to see what Matt LaFleur's offense looks like and, you know, exactly where they're at from a timing standpoint with his wide receivers. So a Bears defense is pretty darn good.
It's real good.
They better be able to keep Aaron Rodgers upright.
Yeah, it's real good. I mean, I think the Steelers defense shows potential, too. I mean, they're not bad. But I do like having a quarterback at home. I mean, sometimes if it looks really close, I'll go with the guy that's at home rather than on the road, unless it's just an obvious matchup against the defense.
I think Josh Gordon, I don't know where he went in most people's fantasy drafts. I think he's going to have a big year.
We took him in the one on Tuesday night pretty early. I think he's going to have a very good fantasy year. He was not rated high enough. I'm ready for fantasy season to get underway, man. I got 82,000 teams. I've shown complete ambivalence at the quarterback position. Dusty, I've drafted Jameis Winston, a man who I cannot stand in a couple of leagues, to be my starting quarterback because I think that the Bucs are going to throw it all over the place this year. So, I don't know. This could go very poorly for me.
Well, I've got some audio that should make you feel pretty good. The great Chris Sims. He thinks it's going to be a big year for Jameis.
the team around him not necessarily has been great and has kind of forced him to push the boundaries on a weekly basis with having to make plays and great throws and do that because they haven't been great in some of those other areas. I mean, pass protection has been an issue for him until last year throughout his whole career. So I think I'm just hoping Bruce Arians can fix some of those consistency issues and a few of those bonehead things that we see pop up from time to time. And I still believe in the guy's talent and he could still make this a positive story about his NFL career.
There you go. Coming from the moon, Chris Sims, former Tampa Bay quarterback himself. He's made some bonehead plays in his career. I will say Bruce Arians, he's shown to be a bit of a quarterback guru, has he not?
He's a very good coach.
Yeah,
he's an offensive line coach. I like offensive line coaches as offensive coordinators at times because I think they kind of understand the game and they understand rather than usually those aren't the kind of guys that like to get into the laser light theatrics, you know, going up and down the field and scoring 500 points and putting their defense in a bad spot and all that stuff.
Quarterbacks in his systems they've had a lot of success. So I think he's a good coach. He's got an interesting hat game though, Mark.
I don't like that hat. That hat would not look good, man. I wouldn't look good in that hat.
No.
I would not. I'm not putting that hat on.
He pulls it off well. It just looks one of those things looks better on you. You know what I mean?
Well, it looks. I've never tried one on, so I didn't know, but I can't
not
even
you,
imagine.
The proverbial you. Like, you know.
I know what you were saying. I mean, but I would never get to the point, I think, of, yeah, I. Who knows? I mean, maybe a different hat would look better on him.
Hey, I saw a very interesting stat yesterday as I'm getting prepared for my NFL matchup. I think it's one of the best matchups of Sunday. Call me crazy, but Kansas City at Jacksonville. Did you know, Mark Rogers, that Patty Mahomes threw touchdown passes against every team he faced last year except the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Blutarski? He did not throw a touchdown pass against that Jags defense.
That's going to be a good game. I think Jacksonville's got a good chance to win this. Okay, I got to ask you a question real fast. And then we'll get to a break. Our boss has just walked in, so I have no idea. I could be getting fired.
Don't get into a tiff. We don't want to.
I got to move Tony Pollard out of my flex position. That was a gamble that did not pay off. So, and should I insert in his place Darius Geis, Calvin Ridley, Robbie Anderson, or Miles Sanders?
Ooh,
I would say Calvin Ridley.
I'm going to go a different direction with that. I like either Miles Sanders or Geis. It sounds like Geis is going to get the work, the bulk of the work in Washington.
Yeah, that Philly defense can be pretty tough. Here's my problem with Miles Sanders, though. I think as the season goes on, he could have a monster year. But, I mean, Mark, is he going to be the feature back?
It's murky
right
now. It's going
to be Howard.
It's murky right now, for sure. I don't like him as much as I like Josh Jacobs or David Montgomery.
I think Jordan Howard's going to be the feature back in Philly to start.
I was an owner of Jordan Howard last season. I think he's washed up. We'll see. I don't know.
I like Robbie Anderson too, Mark. I think that the Jets are going to throw the ball quite a bit better than people are expecting, and Robbie Anderson's their best receiver, right?
He is the number one receiver. Bill's secondary only averaged 180-something yards a game last year. It's a tough matchup on the road.
That's a tough choice for you.
It's at home.
Who is projected to have the most points? What does that
say? Okay, Geis 8-1. Ridley 9-5, Anderson 9-7, Sanders 8-3. So it's really kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley, Robbie Anderson. I don't know. I'd say Calvin Ridley just because I think he's the best of those players.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. We'll see. I'm sure that we'll discuss some more of these scenarios because I know a lot of people are fired up to get the fantasy football underway. Our picks are coming up next at the top of the hour. I am here today having a great lunch at the Smoking Boar. You can do that as well. Come by and see us here at May and Britain. Stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday on The Sports Animal.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma versus South Dakota and Bud Light.
On Monday, does that mean I have to make a 6 picks today, Mark?
You got 6 picks.
Oh, sweet Jezebel.
And look, listen, this is a serious damn deal, all right?
Okay.
And so anybody that threatens the integrity of our picks contest should know that there are a reason why we do the things the way we do. Right? You got to make your picks on the air. The point spread locks in at the time of the pick. Trotter, when he picks the games tomorrow, if it's an in-state game, he gets the same line as we do. That's the way it works.
I don't know what happened earlier in the week. I have no idea. But I was getting a text message that the Ultimate was coming after me, calling me a bully, saying I'm setting my own lines, when all I did was take the line scores. We go off the same website, Scores and Odds. We all have.
Official lineman of the show.
Yeah.
ScoresandOdds.com.
Line was 18 on Notre Dame last Thursday, and we picked it, so I took it, and all of a sudden that I became a bully and was making my own lines. Not the case. We all play from the exact same guidelines. So just so we cleared that up. And my man Matt Ravis, he is bringing up the rear, but not far behind. 2-3. Both Matthew and I lost our locks in devastating fashion. Our hearts were ripped out with Northwestern and Oregon not only losing, but not covering the number, which means, Mark Rogers, the floor is yours.
All right, my T&W Tire lock of the week, and I believe I'm getting a good number on this right now.
Okay.
Is the Missouri Tigers minus 13.5 against West Virginia. This is more, it's a bounce back selection on Missouri. It is a fading of West Virginia. I don't think West Virginia is very good at all. I think it's a total rebuild this year for Neil Brown. Kelly Bryant had a big game last week, and I don't know what happened to the Missouri defense. I think they got a little bit tired in the atmosphere, the altitude of Laramie. And so I want Missouri laying the 13.5 as my T&W Tire lock of the week.
You know I like
70s game show music behind us.
Yeah.
It's like Cool and the Gang went to see The Price is Right.
Hey.
That's a really apt description, Mark.
I was thinking like maybe some Ron Jeremy's movies that I watched when I was a young kid. You know what I mean?
Not enough bass guitar in there for Ron Jeremy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it needs some more of that low end. You know what I mean?
Okay. Woo. He's digging deep there, if you know what I mean. All right. I'm going to go for my T&W Tire Lock of the Week. I hate to do it, but I'm going to fade my man, Mac Brown. I really like Miami in this game, and I felt good that Todd Furman agreed with me. I just think that and I kind of learned this from Mark, so I'm leaning on my buddy here who I've been learning from, and learning from so much that I've beat him every year in the picks contest. So I just think that, look, you've got two opposite ends of the spectrum, right? You've got a North Carolina team who's riding high, who's feeling great about themselves, who pulled one out of the fire and stole one at home, taking on a Miami team that could have easily beaten Florida 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks of preparation. Manny Diaz got fired by Mac Brown. He gets to try to avenge that against his former boss. I think Miami's the more talented team. I think that's going to show at North Carolina on Saturday night. Give me Miami going on the road, minus 5 for my T&W Tire Lock of the Week.
Very good. I guess since we're doing locks, roll it right out the gate. T&W Tire Lock of the Week. Mine is going to be Army plus 22.5 against Michigan. These service academies always seem to beat the spread. I think that is a very, very big number for a game. It sounds like Shea Patterson is a little bit beat up. I'm not a super big believer in Michigan. Not saying that the Army is going to win this game, but 22.5 is quite sizable. So give me Army over Michigan for my lock of the week.
Mark, we talked about that earlier this week.
I like his service academy play, but I also think your analysis is really good on the different horse for different course.
Yeah, man.
Michigan is so strong on defense, and they're going to dare Army to throw it. I don't know if they can. It gave him a 62-point hickey against Ohio State, but Army's not Ohio State.
Okay. And it worries me for you there, Matt, but good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
I'm next. You know, everybody loves the Albanese Bears.
Like 20% of people do.
Cow Bears!
I love the Albin-coordinated offense at Ohio. My boy Tim Albin, Woodward, America, Woodward, Oklahoma, won the national championship at Northwestern Oklahoma State. A lot of Rangers out there listening to us today. So give me the 5. Frank Solich, done a hell of a job at Ohio. I think this is year 16 for him. So I want Ohio plus the 5 against Pitt. Ohio wins some of these games against these bigger schools.
After he was jettisoned, right? He was thrown out. They got rid of him at Nebraska. He's found a nice niche up there for the Bobcats. I thought you were going Cal Bears. I know how you feel about that Cal defense, Mark. Catching a big number.
Under 50 on the total for that game.
I've got like a theme here, and I don't really like it. This typically goes against what I'm all about, but you're going to see a theme in some of my picks. I really like several road favorites this week, and that's sometimes a bad place to be. I totally agree with everything that my man Todd Furman said. That's why it's one of my picks. I like Nebraska on the road, minus 4 against Colorado. I just, I, Nebraska was slow out of the blocks last week, no question. They did not look good against South Alabama, and there's a lot of reason to be loving the Buffaloes right now. Mel Tucker in his first time as head coach, they look great. You know, 3-score win against their arch-in-state rival. I mean, really impressive. It was. I just think this is a week that Taylor Martinez is going to have a day. He's going to have a very big day. I'm just hoping that the Colorado passing game isn't too much for Nebraska to deal with. I think Nebraska goes into Boulder and an old-school Big 12 North matchup gets a much-needed and much more impressive victory. I think they went by a touchdown or more. Give me the Huskers -4.
Sounds good. I'm going to go with an NFL pick here, if that's all right.
Please.
All right. I'm going to go with Colts +6.5 at the Chargers. And here's why. I think that line is a massive, massive overreaction. Yes, Andrew Luck retiring is going to put a dent in the chances of the Colts. However, Jacoby Brissett is a much more capable backup than the Colts had last time Andrew Luck set out a season. I believe Scott Tolzien was standing back there. I like Jacoby Brissett. I like Frank Reich's offense. I think T.Y. Hilton has improved as a receiver. So I think that 6.5 is a bit too big of a spread here. I like Colts +6.5 against the Chargers.
Okay.
I think that pick's a good one.
Tolzien, kind of, by the way.
Down on the down
Scott
on the Chargers.
Tolzien. Couldn't even remember his name.
Tolzien, I get it. It's like I-E-N, you know? Tough. Never quite know what the proper pronunciation is with those.
You know what? I like a team that nobody else likes. And who has
Tennessee?
Been the team that has taken the most grief this week?
Tennessee.
I wasn't that impressed with BYU in week one. It looked like they had a hard time scoring. And Tennessee, they're still going to show up on the banks of the Tennessee River, General Neyland Stadium. I'm going to lay the 3.5 with Tennessee in a big bounce back effort this week.
Okay.
Give me the balls.
All right. Like that? Not really. I'd probably lean BYU, but I would touch with a 10-foot pole. I mean, the reality is, it's a big if, but if it weren't for two pick sixes, BYU, that's like a 3-point game in the Holy War. Gosh, if Tennessee loses to BYU at home, I mean, ugh.
The program may implode.
Yeah, I would not want to be in that stadium.
I've had a take that I wanted to get out there for the last, like, 10 days, and I haven't, so you just open up the opportunity.
Please.
It was killer that Utah went on the road and wore their home uniforms in that game. I love that. That's a baller move.
Baller!
They wore the red. They wore the red, like, this is our home, BYU.
That was a great uniform matchup.
Speaking of ballers, my boys down in Orlando got them. Central Florida. My man Josh Heupel, I'm going to go see those guys next week. A lot of former Oklahoma alumni on the staff. We love that. John Cooper, the tight ends coach. Jeff Lebby, the offensive coordinator. Josh Heupel, JH, national championship winning quarterback. They're rolling. And interestingly enough, Brandon Wimbush looked good. But they got another Hawaiian quarterback that was lighting it up. I'm going to tell you about a receiver, Gabriel Davis. If you haven't seen this guy yet for Central Florida, check him out. He is a stud. That'll be on display this week against Florida Atlantic. I think that they roll. Give me UCF -10.5.
Am I allowed to overlap with Mark here? Because he has one of my picks.
Of course. Mark's got one of my picks, too, so don't worry.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna pick the same side of that Tennessee-BYU game. I said, that program is going to implode if Tennessee loses. I think that Tennessee probably bounces back in a big way this week.
I'm smelling some implosion.
I hope we don't get backdoored in that game.
If you can't move Georgia State off the football, how are you going to move 26-year-old Mitt off the football? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
I got some big boys. All right, I'm going to stick with my theme because it's kind of where I'm at right now. As much as I don't want to see this happen, I don't know. Maybe I'll just hold off on that for now. I'll hold off on it for now. I agree with Mark. I almost made it my lock of the week. It's probably my second favorite play. We talked about this earlier in the week. I really like Missouri in a bounce-back game. Kelly Bryant threw for over 400 yards last week. I don't know what the heck happened to their defense. I haven't watched the tape. But I just think that this is a get-right game. And it's also as much about West Virginia as it is about Missouri. This is Operation Reset. in Morgantown this year. They snuck past James Madison, a nice FBS school. But the Tigers will have their full attention. Missouri by two touchdowns. I'm glad it dropped the hook because it may just be a 14-point win, but it will cash. Tigers minus 13.5.
Very good. Am I up next?
I'm next.
You're next.
Wait.
Matt Ravis is next.
Dusty.
We got out of order, I think.
Yeah, Dusty, you jumped ahead of me there, but that's fine.
Well, I got to make two picks. I got to make an extra pick.
Yeah, you got to make six. Okay, so we'll get back on track that way. I do not like Tommy DeVito, the quarterback at Syracuse.
Ooh.
I do think that there's a thing, like Maryland, kind of a thing, early in the season, knocked off Texas back-to-back years, kind of the thwarted the whole Texas is back type situation. And I know when I see a line move kind of like that, that it's really intriguing. So I'm going to go Maryland minus the two over Syracuse in Dusty's game.
Okay. I talked to the Syracuse coaching staff for about an hour and a half this morning, so I could share some inside secrets if you want. Obviously not on air, but no, I'm just kidding. That should be a good game, though. I'll tell you that. I can't wait to call it. And I can't wait to go to College Park. Have you been to College Park, Marcus?
I've never been there. Matt said he's been there.
Yes, I have. Right. It's a beautiful place. Beautiful campus.
I can't wait. Surely somewhere there, Mark, I can get some really good seafood tomorrow night, right?
I bet you get some good crab.
Love crabs. Let's see. I'm going to, again, stick with
when my... When was the last time you had crabs?
It's been a while. It's been a while. But I will be sure that I get into some here on the East Coast. All right. By the way, Dorian isn't going to affect anything in my midst, is it? I have not been tracking the storm. Should I be okay?
I think you're clear. I think Bahamas got by far the worst of it.
Okay, so we're good. Jacksonville, okay?
I think so.
I think you're good.
Maryland,
it'll be way past Jacksonville. I don't know about the upper East Coast. I saw some hurricane warnings for Delaware, but that's still a little ways away from you in Maryland.
Delaware. Okay, I'm going to go with an in-state school. That's right, not Oklahoma, not Oklahoma State. Like I told you, road favorites. I know it's probably stupid, but I can't get enough of it. I think Tulsa is going to San Jose State, and they're going to win by a touchdown. Okay? San Jose State isn't very good. They played Northern Colorado last week, a two-win FBS school. They won it in decent fashion. But San Jose State is anything from a stellar program. And I'll tell you what, if anything, I think Tulsa gained a lot of respect around the country. They gave Michigan State all they wanted and some with their defense. And they had to face the Michigan State defense, probably finished top 10 in the country. So I get it was an L. They covered the number there. And again, I think that they showed they're a pretty good team. They got a really good defense. And their offensive line is suspect. But that, I don't think, is going to rear its ugly head against San Jose State. They got good running backs, good receivers, and we'll see if Zach Smith can deliver the football. I'm saying he can. Give me a 6.5-point win at minimum for my man Philip Montgomery in the Tulsa Golden Hurricane.
Very good. Very good. For my final pick here, I'm going to go with a game that is a pick'em in the NFL. 49ers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it's actually minus one for the Bucs. So I'm going to take the 49ers side of this thing. That Tampa Bay defense is rough. I mean, they get rid of Gerald McCoy in the offseason. They're missing Jason Pierre-Paul. That secondary, if you are fantasy knowledgeable, you know you are picking against that secondary all season long in Tampa Bay. So I really like the 49ers to go out and win this and make a statement. Because I don't know if the Bucs are going to be able to mount any kind of defensive presence against them.
All right, my final game. Anytime that you have a country playing against a college, you've got to go with the country. And I'm going to take the beautiful country of Hawaii to hammer the Beavers.
Aloha.
This weekend, minus 6.5. Hawaii, if they can beat Arizona, they can beat Oregon State. The Beavers are more likely to not take the game as seriously in Hawaii. So give me the Rainbow Warriors, minus 6.5. Last game of the day.
Hawaii, it's a beautiful country. Beautiful country there. That predates you, Matt Ravis. many years. That was like our first year together, Mark, and it still stuck around. Some things, they never go to the wayside.
Was that like the previous version of the is Dallas, you know, the Dallas Metro counts Dallas argument?
No, it wasn't an argument. I made a statement, and it just never... Okay, you know how you say, like, instead of saying countryside, you say, oh, that's beautiful country.
Yeah.
We had a guest on who was in Hawaii, and I said, are you enjoying the beautiful country of Hawaii? And then there it is born. Hawaii quickly became a country.
Just like Australia. Island and a country.
Well, and Australia is unique. It's also a continent, I believe.
Australia is a continent.
Multi-talented.
I mean, all kinds. Island, country, continent. I mean, Australia's got a lot of things going on.
Was it Australia a penal colony? Didn't they just take prisoners there and
yes,
drop them off?
That is true.
That's what I've always heard. You just wanted to say penal.
I've never... I think it'd be rough in Australia. You see, I mean, like, they got so many poisonous snakes there. Have you seen all those, like...
Large spiders. Spiders the size of dogs.
It's a rough place.
Spiders, snakes.
They do have great blooming onions, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, they do. Okay. I got one more. I got two games written down here, and I'm just... I'm torn, right? I'm going to agree with Todd. I don't love it. Because I wanted to go Georgia Tech. I wanted to take Georgia Tech over South Florida. But Todd says stay away. So, and Todd we trust, right, Mark?
That's right.
Feel that way?
He's cautious, very cautious.
All right, well, I'm going to go with the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Take LSU.
I have it written. I'm going to stay away from those two big games. I just want to sit back and watch. Because, truth be told, I would take LSU. It's written down on here. But I want to root for Texas. I do. I'd like to see Texas play well. But I'm going to take the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're playing Rutgers. It's Rutgers. And I only got to give 19.5. I think they won by 3 touchdowns. Give me the Hawkeyes at home, minus 19.5.
All right. Our sergeant at arms, Blaine Brown, will record those picks, tweet them out. We will retweet them.
Now, hang on. Was that 5 picks for Matt Ravis?
Yes. Yeah, I made all 5 of mine.
Okay. Because you were last in line.
That's right. Whoa. I did not make my last
Army
pick. No. Eagles minus 10 over the Redskins. I did not make that pick.
Tennessee, 49ers.
Trying to help you out here, bud.
No, Eagles. I appreciate that. Eagles minus 10. That is my final pick. I cannot do math.
I'm a little concerned about Matt picking these NFL games. These are extremely difficult to handicap. Very bold move on his part.
Yeah, I don't.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Bold strategy, Cotton. I'll tell you what else is a bold strategy. Taking 6 favorites. I don't love that. I usually look for the dogs, but this week, we weren't going with the dogs. We're going with the favorites. There you go, Blaine Brown. Send those out. Good luck, ladies and gents. And remember, be responsible and be wise when placing your bets. Marcus? What's going on at the barbecue joint you're hanging out at today?
We are at the Smoking Boar today at May and Britain. The food here is off the hook. It's awesome. They've got great, great beer on tap, all local beer. Love my guys over there at Skydance. They got their Amber Ale here. They also have their IPA, the Light Horse, which is tremendous. And it's all on tap. So get by here and see us today at the Smoking Boar for a great lunch. Don't forget, they will cater for you for your tailgate. At any time, they got some great tailgate packages to inquire about when you get here to see us at the Smoking Boar. Stay tuned. We got more coming up right now.
The Morning Animals.
People were getting mad because...
Got his controversial wide receiver, Antonio Brown, who is now suspended. Man, this guy's probably wishing right now he could be up at NFL Network breaking down games. I guess what? He'd been doing the some of the Notre Dame games, hasn't he, Mark? He'd been working with Mike Tirico.
I would love to see Antonio Brown come running out of the locker room WWE style and like hit Mayock over the head with the chair.
What's your deal against Mayock, man?
I like Mayock, but I'm just for entertainment value.
You just want to see him get hit in the head with the chair? I love
that. That's Antonio Brown's music.
Well, it would have been better. The ideal scenario would have been Antonio Brown holding a press conference and Mayock come hit him with the chair, but that wasn't available today.
I'm just going to say this, man. I think some people need to apologize a little bit to Mike Tomlin today. I mean, Mike Tomlin got so much heat. And I got to tell you, after watching this unfold in Oakland, I think it's safe to say Mike Tomlin did as good a job as he possibly could trying to deal with Antonio Brown. I mean, this guy is just, he's off his rocker, Mark. Trying to fight the GM, putting the organization on blast. This dude doesn't show up to training camp because he's mad about a helmet. He misses a walkthrough, okay? He gets fined like anybody else in football would, and he's mad about it. So he blasts the organization, calls him the devil on social media. Then he tries to fight the GM. I mean,
yeah, you can. I mean, even go back further than that to what he did last year at the end of the season against Pittsburgh at playoff time.
I'm just talking about right now. Well, that's 2 years ago. Whenever he was Facebook living, I mean, the things are really starting to stack up, and I don't know.
He doesn't want to play football.
I don't know how this ends for him, Mark. I don't. I mean, I don't know who wants this guy in their locker room.
I wouldn't if I had a good team. So why would you want him on a bad team?
Well, I asked you guys during the break if you'd give up a seventh-round pick, and you both said no. That's crazy. How far
I wouldn't want him anywhere near my football team. No way. Especially if it's a young football team. No way. Get out. No, it's not worth it, man. I know what a talent he is, but he is so – his decision-making process right now is so broken and flawed. The last thing you want, and you can talk to any football coach you want, you always want talent. But, man, the moment, you know, off-field actions override your on-field talent, you don't want them. You don't want them. And you can become a cancer inside the locker room. And the last thing you want is that to spread, man. The last thing you want is that something like that to spread throughout your locker room. Like, I think that it kind of did in Pittsburgh. So, I don't know. I mean, and again, Mike Tomlin was highly criticized for the way he handled him. I just don't know how anybody can handle this guy. Other than what Mike Mayock's doing.
I think they definitely made the right move. I agree.
And that's what he – I mean, think about – I'll never get over. This was my biggest – and I say this, and I've got him in fantasy, which is stupid of me. I'm mad at myself. But, Mark, he quit on his team last year in Week 17.
The worst possible time.
They still had a chance to make the playoffs, right? They still had a chance. And this dude no-shows on the Saturday before the last game. But because he was upset with something the quarterback said, you know how selfish that is? You know how many other guys rely on him to do his job at a high level? His teammates? And he's going to do that? Like, I just don't know how, again, back to your question, Matt Ravis, how do you trust this guy? How do you trust him? I don't think you can. So, anyway, it's wild. Hey, we got odds to win the Super Bowl out. The Kansas City Chiefs are the odds-on favorite. So I picked yesterday. After that, Mark, you've got the New England Patriots. So now Kansas City 6-1, Patriots 13-2. Saints are favored to win the NFC at 8-1 Super Bowl odds. The Bears, second best odds, the Chicago Bears, Brian's pick to win the NFC 9-1. So they have the second best odds to win the NFC. The Eagles and Rams each 13-1 to win the Super Bowl. So some odds there on Super Bowl win the Super Bowl. How about this? The Browns and Chargers are next at 14-1. The Browns have better odds to win the Super Bowl than the Dallas Cowboys at 15-1. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers at 18-1.
So that's crazy. I wouldn't look. The Browns do not have a better chance in actuality to win the Super Bowl than the Cowboys.
No chance.
That's ridiculous.
No way. No. I'm with you. How about Craig picking the Cowboys to win it all, man?
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe what I was listening to today. Well, even worse, I mean, look.
I didn't get to hear it.
I don't feel great about the Cowboys pick for him because he was kind of having some issues by fading both the Chiefs and the Patriots to be in the AFC Championship game just because of my bet with him.
Yeah.
Who did he have? San Diego? Who he had? San Diego or Los Angeles and who else? I can't remember. I think it was Los Angeles and maybe Pittsburgh.
Rockets.
I'm not sure.
Rockets. Texans? The Rockets. Poor Rockets aren't gonna, please.
My Rockets God. Aren't going to make the Rockets aren't going to make the Super Bowl this year.
Pretty confident saying that.
Or the NFC Championship. I think that's a safe bet. Place that bet, ladies and gents. That fade the Rockets in the NFL this year. I guarantee it's a winner. Guaranteed winner. Hey, you were talking about fantasy earlier. So now that I get Antonio Brown out, do you think that there's anybody in my league I could – is it not NFL trade value, but is it time to offer him up for a trade without knowing exactly what's going to transpire? Do you get in a holding pattern?
That's an interesting question. Yeah. What would you want back?
Put your feelers out there for it. I mean, at least you got to at least try.
Yeah. Hopefully people that play in our league aren't listening to the show.
His value right now is at its lowest point potentially ever, right? Right now his value is lower than it's ever been.
Yes.
So selling low, I mean, it doesn't sound great, but it may be the difference. You may end up cutting him. So getting something would be preferable. I'd put out your feelers.
All right. So here's the question then. So this is now I have to get into my lineup and I got to mix and mingle. Do you play? Okay, I've got Calvin Ridley in as my flex. It's part of the reason I told you. So I'm going to move Calvin Ridley up and I'm going to play him against Antonio Brown. But what would you do this, guys? I want y'all's opinion. Okay, are you playing Sammy Watkins at Jacksonville, who's projected 11.4, or Tariq Cohen tonight against Green Bay, projected 11.6? I'm going to say Tariq Cohen tonight. What do you think?
I would think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of attention in that Chiefs offense to Kelce and Hill. And that's a tough matchup on the road. Sammy Watkins had 5 touchdowns last year. I think that he would do a little bit better this season, so I like him. I like the player at home. I'm really, really interested in seeing the Bears tonight and how their offensive running back distribution is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing, I mean, they were saying all offseason, number one, how much they love David Montgomery, and number two, that they wanted to use Tariq Cohen less. That would worry
but
me.
I still think they'll use Cohen, and I've got Montgomery in several leagues, so I'm hoping that he has a big game tonight.
Yeah, I'll be watching him closely. Dusty, as far as your question, I think I'd go Sammy Watkins. Just he's always produced when he is healthy, and he, as far as I know, he's healthy right now.
Sammy Watkins. Yeah, he is healthy right now. I did give you the stat earlier, though, that Jags defense, the only defense that held Mahomes no touchdown passes. They have a relentless pass rush. They are really good outside. That's a tough matchup for anybody. That's a great pass D. Whereas Green Bay, I don't know.
No, yeah, that D is going to be porous. Do you remember what week they played, Chiefs and the Jags?
I should. I've got it in my notes somewhere.
October 7th, so that would have been.
Mid-season-ish?
Yeah.
Earlier in the season? Before the Jaguars took a complete nosedive?
Now, there's something to that. I mean, that is really, really impressive secondary between Bouye and what's his name? He's escaping me right now. Their best cornerback.
You made me. You got it escaping me right now.
I know.
Florida State
believe...
Seminole. Why'd you do that?
Jalen Ramsey.
Everybody see Derwin James. My God. They play a lot of man coverage, and they get after the cue. And I think there's just a lot of – you got to make some tight window throws. So, I don't know. I'm going to go Tariq Cohen. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to root for maybe he has a touchdown tonight in the 100-year anniversary of the National Football League as we get it kicked off on Thursday.
That final score last year was 30-14 with Blake Bortles quarterbacking the Jags.
I think Foles is, to me, that's a storyline that doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah, he's just a step up, no doubt.
Just his story in
Fournette,
general, though.
Fournette looked good to me. Looked like he was in shape and he really ran hard. But there's another guy that I think shows a propensity to kind of quit on his team from time to time.
Yeah, and he did not play in that matchup last year.
Not only does he quit on his team, he just doesn't show up, right? I mean, if it's so weird. It's like if he has the slightest, and again, I don't want to call him soft, but if he's not 100%, like fully ready to go, he doesn't go. And I don't get that because, like, to me in football, you know, you're rarely ever 100%, ever. It just doesn't happen. I mean, it's a physical, brutal game to where you're constantly nicked up. And I firmly believe there's a big difference between being injured and being hurt. And if you're injured, obviously, you can't play. But being hurt, you got to be able to play hurt in football. And that's something that I've not seen from Leonard Fournette at LSU, and I haven't really seen that at Jacksonville either.
You better go pick up Hunter Renfrow while you can, Dusty. NFL Rookie of the Year.
Wait a second. You may be onto something there. You think he's available?
He's definitely available.
Yeah, no doubt he is available.
Who does that give a better chance to? I mean, you know, they made a big deal out of Keelan Dawson. They released him, and the Jags picked him up. But Marcel Ateman made the team for the Raiders. Hunter Renfrow made the team for the Raiders.
It so kind of seemed like Keelan Dawson was going to make it over,
yeah,
over him.
I don't know if that was storytelling or what, but anyway, somebody's going to have to catch passes for Oakland.
As we're talking, Hunter Renfrow is probably on waivers. Somebody's going to dangle him in front of me.
They have Tyrell Williams there. Darren Waller, they're tied in. He looked pretty good in Hard Knocks, at least.
Come on, Hunter Renfrow.
Does anybody see that game on Monday night, just Denver going in there and winning 35-4 or 35-3 or something like that? I mean, just crushing them.
I don't know, I'd love to see it.
It won't be 35-4.
I don't think it'll be 35-4. That's just
if it is, it'll be the greatest prediction of all time. If it's 35-4.
That game is basically a pick 'em, I think.
I wonder, what do you think Antonio Brown moves the line? At all? Point?
No.
Point and a half?
None.
Zeke moved the Dallas line like a half point.
Okay.
Right now, it's Broncos favored by 2.
Broncos favored by... Hunter Renfrow, not seeing him anywhere available as we speak.
He's not available? Somebody picked him?
He's not... I mean, I'm all the way down at players projected 0.6. Surely.
Maybe he's projected at 0.0. Maybe they hung the Blutarski on him for week one.
Now I'm getting down into people that are injured. I don't think that he's... I don't think he's out there. I think somebody was ahead of the curve on this.
He's rostered in 5% of leagues. You are in the 5% of leagues where he is taken.
I'm a 5%er.
5%.
There's no question. Mark Rogers, where are you at today?
Man, I had a great lunch here. You can too. A lot of people text me about the smoking boar here at May and Britain. Craft beers on tap. It's a cool place to hang out and watch the game. They got some televisions in here. Did see Mike Mayock speak. No Antonio Brown coming out of the locker room with a chair. But highly suggest that you order some tailgate food from them. Come by and pick it up. You will thrill all of the people that are at your house to watch games with their great barbecue here at the Smoking Boar. So come see us at May and Britain. What do we got next? We're going to take a call? We'll take a call. We haven't taken a call today.
We can take a phone call. 460-9957. I got to figure out what it's going to take to get Hunter Renfrow next on the Monsters for the Midday.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
That's really the only thing you could really get up.
Anything, but are we overlooking South Dakota and McNeese State? I mean, you gave great scouting reports earlier this week. Let me ask this, because I'll be in and out tomorrow with Maryland coaches and players interviews, but what are you looking for this weekend out of, let's start in Stillwater, out of Oklahoma State?
Here's how I'd approach it if I were both teams. I would go to my guys and I would say, look, let's get out there and let's make this a first-round knockout. I want to hold them without scoring. I want to score 5 or 6 touchdowns, and then let's call it a day and let everybody else get it in play. So I think that's what I'm expecting in both places. I don't think there's anything you can tell from either one of these games, positive or negative. And I heard a guy call in a gym show and said, what happens if OU gives up 17 points to South Dakota? Is that bad? I don't know that that's bad if they put in a bunch of reserves and let things just in the second half kind of turn into a scrimmage. So I can't tell anything by the scores, but I would expect both teams to be really sharp. Probably see Spencer Rattler, right, Dusty? First time?
I think it's definitely possible. You hope so. You'd like to be able to get Jalen Hurts out of there by halftime.
Yeah,
I
don't expect Jalen Hurts to be playing in the second half of this game.
He shouldn't be.
That would be stunning to me if he was.
You know, I would say in Stillwater, I'd like to see, you know, is Israel Antoine going to play this week? I'd just like to see a better pass rush. Like, you're going to be playing against lesser competition. Take advantage of it. Like, you know, look better up front on the defensive line from a pass rush standpoint. You know, that Isaiah Hodges, that big receiver, is able to catch a bunch of passes on the secondary for Oklahoma State. But, I mean, as much as anything, I'd just like to see the front look better. A lot of new faces. I thought Malcolm Rodriguez stepped in and did some good things, but I like the defensive line to try to find a way to generate a pass rush and maybe change the line of scrimmage a little bit. Some running lanes at times for Oregon State and only one sack, so I think that's one thing that I'd be looking for. And then I just think, you know, much of the same. I think that you'd like that offensive line to continue to do what it's been doing. And I think most importantly, your quarterback to continue to value the football, take care of it. I thought he did a really nice job of that in week number one. And biggest thing in a week like this is just for coaches to beat it into these players' minds not to allow that tape you're watching of your opponent to lull yourself to sleep. Not to feel, especially speaking about the two offenses, that, man, you know, putting up 52 and 49. You know, everything. We got this figured out. I mean, I think that that's the biggest thing for Coach Gleason in his second week coordinated game throughout the course this week. It's about us, not about our opponent. Let's continue to execute, continue to do what we do. It's coach speak, but it's real, because the last thing you want to do is not continue to progress and get better, because that trip to Austin, it's looming. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, and you need to be hitting your stride and really firing on all cylinders at that point. I think for Oklahoma, it's to, you know, while those starters are in, to put together, you know, more consistent football. There's some really good signs you saw from Oklahoma defensively. Love what I saw out of Neville Gallimore, Ronnie Perkins, obviously Kenneth Murray. They're flying around there making plays, changing the line of scrimmage, negative plays. That was all good. You want to continue to see that. And I think biggest thing, I know South Dakota's got an athletic quarterback. So you saw De'Aaron King be able to make some plays. Don't allow that to happen again. And I think as much as anything, create some takeaways. They need to create some takeaways, Mark. I'll be disappointed. I don't care who it's against. If they come out by the end of week two and haven't created any takeaways. I mean, that's one of the things that Alex Grinch, it's what he preaches. It's what his defense is kind of predicated on. And with all the things they do up front to create disruption, to create negative plays and put offenses, you know, in passing situations, that you should be able to find a way to take the football away. So I think,
I mean, a team that's used to playing in a gym and playing in an 86,000 seat stadium probably might cough one up, you would think.
Well, not just cough it up, rip it out. Don't wait on somebody to cough it up. Go force them. Take the ball away.
As Pat would say, yeah, they need to knock the fool out of one of those guys.
It's not just like turnovers isn't even the right term. It should be takeaways. Like, if you're a defense, we're going to go take the ball away. That's the mindset. And that's one thing that I'd like to see, and obviously kind of – I don't know if there's anything that South Dakota is going to be able to do defensively to slow down Lincoln Riley in that offense. But I'll be more excited when there's – next week will be a better week. Tulsa against Oklahoma State, Oklahoma traveling out to UCLA. I will be intrigued to see what UCLA does in week two against San Diego State this week, Mark. I think they're an 8-point favorite against Rocky Long Squad.
Had that queued up to ask Todd. UCLA's defense looked pretty good last week. Offense, awful.
Yeah. 100% on that.
I mean, DTR, they could lose that game.
DTR didn't look very good.
Whatever he does, I'm going to predict that he has a better game Saturday night.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I believe.
Rush for negative 20 yards and 4 turnovers. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where is the Oklahoma State game? I know Oklahoma is on pay-per-view. What's the viewing for the Oklahoma State game?
Same, right?
Both are pay-per-view games?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Are you you're doing Coach's Cabana, right?
We are doing our Coach's Cabana event on Friday night this week, not Saturday before the game. So I will probably go to the game.
Oh, very nice. Matt Ravis, you going to the game this week?
I will be there, yes.
Okay. That's very good. Oklahoma kicking at 6, same time. Actually, no. Oklahoma State's on ESPN Plus, Mark.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I just looked it up right here. ESPN Plus will have McNeese at Oklahoma State in Stillwater, 6 o'clock kick. So, Cowboy fans won't have to shell out the money like the Sooner fans at least this week. I will be watching some NFL football, hopefully tonight, as I work my way to the east coast of the country. Bears, Packers, the NFL is back. Football is officially back, both in the college and professional level. What a great time of year. Should be a lot of fun to talk about tomorrow, Marcus. Where are you at today?
I've been here at the Smoking Boar. I highly recommend it. Great barbecue, cold beer. A lot of local handcrafted beers on tap here, so get by and see them at May and Britain. You can also order food for them for your tailgate. They will cook up some of the delicious barbecue here, and you can enjoy that with your friends. It's a great place, the Smoking Boar.
Very nice. We are on a 21-hour break here on the Monsters of the Midday, but do not change that dial. The Ultimate up next with the Afternoon Sports Beat, 98.1 WWLS, the Sports Animal.
On Westwood One Podcast Network.
I'm Chris Jericho, and I've got